We began the Ramban in Parshas Polok, and we special emphasis on the Ramban's thesis, which he repeats over and over again, very consistently, that Bilam was not a Novid. He was a Misnave, he had experiences of Nevuah, but he was not a Novid. In fact, the difference between Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu is a threefold difference in terms of the level, the Malas HaNevuah. In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, he would not know what Hashem would ask him, because would speak to him about, because Hashem initiated in a free discussion with Moshe Rabbeinu whatever Hashem willed to speak to him. On the other hand, Bilam would know beforehand. He had already read the signs and the Nichush and the Kesem in order to know what Hashem would speak to him about. Then again, Moshe Rabbeinu would not know at what time Hashem would initiate a conversation with him. It was a free open discussion. Whenever Hashem initiated the Nevuah, that's when it happened. Whereas Bilam knew exactly when it would happen. And thirdly, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu stood in full faculties, he was very sharp, he's aware, he's awake, Bilam had to be nofel, he had to fall down. It was at night, it was Vayikar lo kim as Bilam. On the other hand, leaving aside Milas HaNevuah, there's another category called Bir HaNevuah, the clarity of vision. And in terms of the clarity of vision, Bilam actually reached the level of a certain Bir HaNevuah, which the Pasuk describes Moshe Rabbeinu as Ponim El Ponim. When you see a friend and you speak to him and he reads your facial expressions and your countenance, and you can tell if he understands. It's a very clear communication. So too, in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a certain clarity called Bir HaNevuah, where it was Ponim El Ponim. Bilam had that kind of Nevuah, Ponim El Ponim. It was clear, there were no issues about the content of the Nevuah. Therefore, Moshe could take the Nevuah of Bilam and incorporate it into the Torah, because any Nevuah in the Torah has to have that clarity, that Bir HaNevuah. We also spoke about the fact that the people of Israel put Bilam to death by Choreth. And why is that so? So the Ramban later on says, because he was one of the Tzorim B'Nichleim, he fit into the category of those enemies that persecuted and oppressed the Jewish people. And God gave license to kill all those who were included in that description, including Bilam. Says the Ramban, Chas v'Shalom, they couldn't have put him to death if he was a Navi. They could only do so because he was a Misnavi. The Ramban makes a big deal about the pasuk in Yoshua that describes Bilam at his death as a kosem. The pasuk is very meticulous. He's a kosem, but not a novi. And the Ramban shows that Vayikar lo kim el Bilam, time after time. The Ramban also compares the nevuah of Bilam to that of the Avos, and he contrasts it. He says that the Avos had a nevuah b'shakayshin dal yud, but if you take a look in the case of Bilam, it says machze shakai, so he didn't actually have shakai itself. So he was two levels removed in his nevuah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Notice Moshe was superior to the Avos. Moshe had a nevuah which is called aspaklaria ha'meira, like a piece of glass that you can see through both sides. The Avos only had aspaklaria, that's called shakai, and the level of Bilam is one notch lower, that's not even shakai, that's called machza shakai. So these are some of the points that the Ramban makes over and over again, at least four times to my knowledge, in Parshas Bolak. What we'd like to do tonight is focus on some of the brachos that Bilam bestowed upon Klal Yisrael and see how the Ramban interprets them. So we'll start with Perek Chavdalid Pasuk Zion. The pasuk itself is quite challenging, just on the level of pshat. We'll interpret it with Rashi. Bilam says about Klal Yisrael, Yizal Mayim Midolyov. Dolyov means, refers to the wells of water. Vizaro Kemayim Rabim. Rashi says, Loshan Hatzlacha Huze, Kizera Hazorel Pnea Mayim. So when you speak about the fruitful vegetation that grows from the waters, the abundance of water, that's hatzlacha, that's indicative of success, and that's what Bilam is bestowing upon the Jewish people, this bracha. The arom me'agag malko. Agag, says Rashi, is melech amolek. In fact, Rashi identifies Agag as the first king of Amalek. The Torah says, the Tanakh says about Haman that he came from Agag, and it's his descendant of the original king of Amalek. And Bilam is blessing the Jewish people by saying, says Rashi, Yichbosh es Agag melech Amalek. The Jewish people will capture Agag. And then, V'tinose malchuso. Rashi says, Shal Yaakov Yoser v'Yoser, Sheyovo Achrav David u'Shlomo. This prophecy of Bilam relates to the period of time of David and Shlomo, the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, the kings of Israel, who will vanquish Amalek. The Ramban says, however, let me just get to place. First, he throws out a suggestion that possibly Agag is not referring just to the first king of Amalek, but every king of Amalek afterwards was also called Agag. And he says that that's common, that the children of a melech through the generations will carry the name of the melech as they sit on his throne. V'chein haman ha-gogi ki hoya mizera hamalucha ha-hi. Fine. Now, v'hine hosif bepam hazos ha-shlishis. This is the third prophecy, the third round of Bilam speaking about Klal Yisrael. And what's the goal here? Lahudia lebolok ki ohole Yaakov heim tovin. The pasuk continues here. Let me read the pasuk. After this pasuk of Yizal, it says, just a second. Oh, right before it, excuse me, it says, Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkin Osecha Yisrael. One of the most famous psukim, Germanic psukim in all of Tanakh, all of Chumash. And there's a double language here, which the Ramban is bothered by. It says, Matovu on the one hand, O Alecha Yaakov, and on the other hand, Mishkin Osecha Yisrael. Ravaz, May Eis He Yosam Shochne Oholim Adshi Yinchalu Esa'aretz. The bracha of Bilam is an allusion to a period of history, a chunk of history, that begins with the time that they're shochnei oholim, they live in tents, that's in the midbar, and continues until the point of nachlas Eretz Yisrael, meaning when they capture Eretz Yisrael, Canaan, and they divide it up amongst the Shvatim, and the Jews establish a permanent settlement in Eretz Yisrael. Umishkenos Yisrael Gamkein Yu Tovim, just as the Jews living in Oholim in the Midbar until the point at which they entered into Eretz Yisrael were living in a good secure life, so too the Mishkenos Yisrael, says Ramban, refers to the settlement of the Jewish people in the land of Canaan Achrei Kibush V'Chiluk, after the conquest and the division of the land. She yishkinu ba, they will dwell therein, the mishkinos muftachim, in homes, in dwelling places that are secure. V'chein tia arzo molea kol tuv, and then Bilam blesses them that after they settle in Eretz Yisrael, kinecholim nitoyu kiganos alei nohar, he describes the settlement in Israel as a beautiful garden full of waters, Gan Rava, wellsprings coming to flood the land and supply water in the land, Ukamotze Mayim, and wells and Be'eros, Asher Lo Yichzavu Memav, whose waters will not dry up. Now I wanted to stop here for just a moment and ask you the question that bothers my mind: why is it necessary to split the brach of Matovu into two parts, as Bilam did? One part referring to the Jewish people of the Midbar, Shofnei Oholim, as the Ramban calls them. And the second half of the pasuk, the second part of the blessing, referring to the Jewish people settling in Eretz Yisrael, Mishkanos, Yisrael. No, I understand what's compelling the Ramban in that direction. But what I'm asking is, why couldn't, you know, Bilam find the words? I mean, obviously it's a nevuah from Hashem, but to combine these two into one. You know, let's talk about the Mishkanos Yisrael over all the generations, and yet there was a split, as if to say there were two dimensions and two historical periods which are fundamentally different one from the other. Do you follow where I'm trying to go with this? Are you sensing?
Well, one outside of Eretz Yisrael, and one once they get inside of Eretz Yisrael.
Correct. And I would go perhaps a step further. And I would say that this concept of Mishkanos Yisrael, according to the Ramban's Pshat in Bilam, is referring to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which the Ramban, later on at the end of Bamidbar in Parshas Masa, is going to press forward with this. You know, he's going to attack the Rambam, as he always does, for omitting the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and the counting of the Taryag. Why is that dwelling in Eretz Yisrael deserving of a bracha? Because it clinches that mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And I think we can take it even a step further. The choice of the word Mishkanos for the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to Oholim, I believe reflects the fact that the challenge of Eretz Yisrael exceeds beyond the challenge of an Ohel. Where do we find the concept of an Ohel? It's right here in this pasuk, but where historically does the concept of Ohel begin for Klal Yisrael in a very profound, dramatic way? It's right here in this pasuk. Matovu Alecha Yaakov. Back, Yaakov is called Yoshev Oholim. According to Chazal, and Rashi I think quotes it if I'm not mistaken, the Oholim of Yaakov are the Batei Midrashos. So in a sense, Yaakov represents the kind of, we spoke about this once, the Avodas Pnim. You remember we spoke about Avodas Pnim? You know, the challenge of working within the holy, within the confines, the Dalet al Dalet of the Beis HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael and the Yishuv Haaretz represents a whole nother challenge, a whole nother Madrega. Here we're talking about entering into the life, the daily life of settling a land, setting up a state. You know, in our terms, in modern terms, we speak about a police force and an army and banks and Kupat Cholim, and you name it, you know, lawyers and doctors and Kablanim, which, you know, whatever we say about Kablanim, but those who build the land. So the challenge of Mishkanos Eretz Yisrael is already Yisrael. Yisrael is already a whole different concept. Yisrael is the name that's given, that's bestowed by the Malach on Yaakov when he fights the Sar Shel Esav. The Sar Shel Esav represents the Avodas Chutz. You know, Esav is out there, you know, he's at the forefront of commerce and industry. You know, Esav on the, you know, the big banks, you know, Rome, and they build, you know, the legions of Rome and the Colosseum. Have you ever been to Rome? You know, the Colosseum still stands, part of it. You know, these, the gladiators and all the sports people, you know, the macho guys, you know, this was the culture, and of course it expressed itself in architecture, in art, and in fine arts, and in sculpture, and all that. This was the power of Esav. And Yaakov Avinu had to take the brachas even from Esav. So the word Mishkan means a Mishkan of Shechina, to make Eretz Yisrael into the Mishkan of Shechina. In other words, the concept of Kedushas Haaretz through Yishuv Haaretz is achieved and clinched when you can take the Migdash and its sanctity and expand and have it penetrate and filter throughout the land of Israel, every last corner of the land of Eretz Yisrael. How do we do that? How do we achieve that? We have to be not like the Yaakov of the Yoshev Oholim, But the Yaakov of Vasarisa im Elokim Vatucha, the Yaakov who faces the challenge of Soro Shalesa, of encountering those foreign alien elements and still somehow succeeding in doing so. You know, many yeshiva students find that it's very difficult for them when they leave the confines of the Ohel, when they have to get married, establish a family, when they're faced by challenges, they don't know what to do, when the drapes fall down and had not a thing in it, they don't know how to get from one place to the other. You know, they live a very isolated, insulated existence. And the challenge really is to take the Torah of the Ohel and bring it out to the Mishkanos. The Mishkanos Yisrael, and that's reflected and symbolized by the Yishuv Eretz, so that mitzvah of setting up the dwelling and the domicile of the Jewish people in every last tzad, you know, every last shal, every last piece of Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban doesn't allow any land, any parcel of land of Eretz Yisrael to be left desolate. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael requires that the entire land be settled.
Isn't the Rambam differentiates between the base of the Shira and the Mishkan?
Well, the Mishkan would refer to the Migdash, and the base of the Shira refers to the exclusion of any other Migdash other than the one that's in Yerushalayim and the Har Habayis. Right. Is that what you're referring to?
That's
I don't know if that's
to, yeah. So Mishkan of Yisrael, I mean, everybody is responsible to have their own make their home. House
into a Mishkan, right? Yeah. That could be a very important idea that Byron is mentioning here, that the challenge of Mishkanos Yisrael is a private challenge. We said that the Beis HaBechira is a permanent specific location, and it cannot deviate, you know, to the left and to the right. It's got to be on the Har Bayis, it's got to be in the Mokom Migdash, whereas the Beis HaMigdash concept, which begins with the Mishkan. And the Rambam quotes the Asuli Mishkan as the source for the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash. That could move from place to place. And that represents more of an individual moving through his various stages of life and setting up his own Mishkan. So yes, that's really true. And I think this is a very important message for newlyweds, you know, as they establish their Beis Nevim of Yisrael, and again Yisrael, is they really have to face that challenge of converting the house and transforming it into a Mishkan of Shechina. You know, Chazal say Zachu, Shechina Beinayim. It's so fascinating to me that the Chuppah, according to many of the Mefarshim, represents the Har Sinai, which was the original Chuppah, that the canopy over Klal Yisrael. That's the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached its clincher, its apex, at the point of the Chuppah of Har Sinai, when the Ani Arastich Liola became a Nesuin relationship. An intimate relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, that should be the symbolism that we use for marriage when we bring a Chas and Kala into the Chuppah, that they should be, in a sense, kidugmat, as a mirror image of that relationship between Shekhinah and Kal Yisrael. And that's really the whole essence of Shir HaShirim. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Of course, we're in Chodesh Tavos, so we can't jump to El yet. You know, we still have Chodesh Av in the middle. But nevertheless, the Pasuk says, Nefak L'Sasim L'Simcha, so we're hoping that, you know, I'm supposed to be a scholar residence in Baltimore on Tisha B'Av. I said, look, I can sign such a contract, but it's got to be conditional. You know, if the Mikdash is built, I'm not going to be in Baltimore. You know? All right. So we'll finish up this paragraph in the Ramban, because I want to learn a different Ramban. He says, V'chi enatzeach es ha-molek, and the prophecy here of Bilam regarding the vanquishing of Hamolek, Bavur, is a result of actually Nilcham Bo, because Hamolek was the first nation to open fire against Klal Yisrael, to attack Klal Yisrael. The Oved Zichron, and the nation of Hamolek will be completely obliterated. And not only that, that's only at the beginning stage. V'tinosei od ha-malchus shal Yisrael, sheyu ba achrichem malachim adirim, yinosu ma'od. Bilam is prophesizing a further stage in a further development or evolvement and of the history of the people of Israel beyond the destruction of Amalek. And that is the establishment of Malchus B'Yisrael, great kings, mighty kings, that will be uprised, if there is such a word. So that's what the pasuk means here. He's very close to the pasuk. It says, "V'yara me'agag malchus v'tinase malchuso." It's the malchus of Klal Yisrael. V'amar lo, and he also prophesies, "Yochal goyim tzarav." In the next pasuk ches, she yochal called tzarav. Tzarav means those who oppress the people of Israel. Now what does this mean, that there's going to be a crushing, so to speak, of their bones? What does that refer to? Remez, that's an allusion, lahonam, v'chol ashel lahem, that these nations that oppress the Jewish people, the anti-Semitic forces in the world, will be crushed, they will be destroyed and vanquished, as will their possessions. There'll be nothing left of what they brought into this world, of all the riches that they boast about. The Omar, and he further says, she shachnu bo levetach, that they will live in the land lebetach, in security. As we said before, mishkanosecha Yisrael. And the pasuk also says, nota Hashem, God will plant them ka'arozim aleimayim. Erez is always used, and the cedar tree, I think it's called in English, as the symbol of strength, of being secure. Lo yiru mikolam, they won't fear any nation. And now he's referring to pasuk tes, kara shachav ka'ari ukilavi mi yikimenu, which Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, I think, limit to the period of time of David HaMelech, but I think if I read the Ramban correctly, he's expanding it way beyond that period of time. He says, Ka'ari ukelavi shelo yira paritz chayos. Interesting. The Ari, the lion, is called the paritz of chayos. He's the most powerful, the mightiest of all animals. You know, the king of the animal kingdom. And here the Ramban is consistently quoting or paraphrasing psukim in Yeshayo and Novi that foretell the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Now, all of a sudden, there's a change of attitude, and Vayichar Af Bolak is the very next pasuk, and he tells him, "Listen, my friend, pack your bags. I called you, I hired you to curse the Jewish people. V'hinei berachta bereich zeh sholosh pa'amim v'ata barach lecha mekomecha." So the Ramban wants to understand why va'ata with an ayin, why now at this juncture does Balak finally give up the battle, realize it's all over, ball game over, and he sends Bilam running. I mean, after all, this is the fourth time that Bilam has blessed the Jewish people. Says the Ramban, the Ata, at this point, Noash, Miloshin Yeush, meaning he despaired, Balak Mimenu. He realized there's no chance. He gave up the battle. Because Ki She'im Yilachem Bo, Ye'ove Be'emes. If he, meaning Balak and Moab, will attack the Jewish people, they will be totally destroyed. Now, this is based on the Ramban earlier, in Balak, in which the Ramban contends that Balak at every round was hoping that although the nevuah of Bilam was that Klal Yisrael would destroy, would vanquish Agog, meaning Amalek, and Canaan, the nations, the seven nations of Canaan, but there was never a nevuah until this point in which Bilam prophesied that Klal Yisrael would vanquish Moab. So Balak was always contriving, you know, he was creating in his mind a grandiose plan that as the Jewish people are marching through the desert, through the wilderness, and trying to and successfully vanquishing various peoples that attack them, Moab would still have the ability, if only Bilam would succeed in cursing the people of Israel, to attack the Jewish people first Balak thought that Moab would completely vanquish the Jewish people, and then he thought maybe they can kill, they can destroy part of the Jewish people at least, you know, deal the Jewish people a very heavy blow. But now for the first time, Balak realizes he doesn't have a chance. Because in this last prophecy, who is described as the nations, whom are the nations that will be vanquished by Klal Yisrael? And the answer is Tzarav. Yochal Goyim Tzarav. What does Tzarav mean? Do you remember how we interpret the word Tzarav? Tzarav are those enemies who oppress the Jewish people. You remember that Esther accuses Haman of being Ish Tzar. Maybe the Oyev is against even the people of Persia, but the Tzar, use that word, is usually used, Tzorer, is designated, singled out for the enemies of the Jewish people who oppress the Jewish people, try to destroy them. Balak realized that his nation, Moab, is also included in this pasuk of Yochal Goyim Tzarav. So he realized now for the first time that there wasn't even a chance that he could oppress or attack the Jewish people, even part of the Jewish people, and hope to succeed. So ball game's over.
You couldn't go by the idea of Kazakh. I mean, he's three times he's gone up and he's busted. So forget it. You might as well forget it.
Correct. But still, all those blessings express the power of the Jewish people to vanquish whom?
Okay.
The Canaanites. Nothing in the blessing ever included Moab in that group. Moab was not one of the Amim from Canaan, nor was the Amalek. So therefore Moab thought they have a chance to attack the Jewish people. Now, I just want to point out that Moab, something about Moab's hatred of the Jewish people in the Ramban at the bottom of the page. But first let's just finish this paragraph. Ki chol tzar of Yochal, kasher Yochal Amalek b'fir shenilcham bo. So just like Amalek will be vanquished because they fought against the Jewish people, so any enemy of the Jewish people that would fight against the Jewish people would be included in this blessing to the Jewish people that they would vanquish them. Al kein aralo. Therefore, Balak turns to Bilam and he says, "I thought at this point, brach el mekomcha." Ain lo chafitz, why I have no need for you, no desire for you. Now, amongst the many, many chidushim of the Ramban in Parshas Balak, and it's just amazing the myriad chidushim, I just want to point out that the Ramban earlier in Perek Chaf Gimel touches on the sad and the despicable hatred of Balak and Moab against the Jewish people. And he says, if you'll take a look, I'm sorry it's in small print because I wanted to fit it all on the page. He says, on the Pasuk, Orali Yaakov Vizormo Yisrael, Hizkir Lehem Shmom Hanichbad Vishemos Avosom. He says that Bilam went out of his way. Let's just take a quick peek at this. Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, correct? Did I get that right?
Tet.
Say it again?
Tet.
Pasuk yeah. Tet? Chaf Gimel Tet. It says, Bilam says, Ki birosh tzurim er'ena, etc., etc. And he says, "Hein am levadad yishkonu bagoyim lo yischashov min mona afar Yaakov." But I think we're skipping something. One second. Oh, here it is. Pasuk Zayin. This is what I wanted to point out to you. It says here in Pasuk Zayin, "Min aram yancheni bolok melech boav mehari kedem lecha or li Yaakov ulecha zoa mo Yisrael." He says that Bilam in his bracha, which was a nevuah, went out of his way to mention the names of the people of Israel. And why was that so important? why was he mentioning first the Shem HaNichbad, which is Yisrael, and secondly the Shemos Avosom, which is Yaakov? Lamar Shem Am Levadat, that this is a nation that's isolated. V'Shemos Naos Lehem Me'Avosom Ki Balak Lo Hayamazkir Lo Shem Yisrael. He says when Balak hired Bilam, which is back at the beginning of the parasha, he says to Balak, says to Bilam, Hine Am Yatzami Mitzrayim. What does the word Am mean? A nation? Who? What's the name of the nation? They have a name. And then he says, For who Yoshev Mimuli? And my father used to always get very mocked if we spoke about my mother, she. You know, he never liked that. It's mom, it's not she. You know, who Yoshev Mimuli? You know, you use the pronoun. He never was able to get the name of the people out of his mouth. Again, we would have read this pasuk a million times without noticing it. For the Ramban, this is absolutely revealing. Why is it that Balak refuses, deliberately avoids mentioning the name of the people? And the answer is, Kimisnaker Bohem Shalo Yada Oso. You know, there's a nation, I don't know who they are, you know, he's in Yiddish we say Machnish Visidik, you know, he's making himself domavat, you know, as if he doesn't know who they are. Shahaya Kofui Tovas Avihem. The hatred of Balak, of Moab, for the Jewish people, is a very profound and extreme expression of Kfias Tova. What was the Tova that the forefathers of this nation, of the people of Israel, had bestowed upon the forefathers of Moab? Because Avram saved Lot. He was the father of Moab. Don't you deserve to, don't they deserve some sort of gratitude? They're just low people. So I think what the Ramban is implying is that had Bola called the people of Israel by their name, meaning the name which referred to their avos, then he would have to admit, because he couldn't rewrite history, that he owed them a debt of gratitude. And how can he attack them and curse them? And it's interesting, the Ramban says, when the pasuk says, when the pasuk describes the people of Israel as badad, am levadad yishkon, so the Ramban sees in that, which I never would have said, I always thought am levadad yishkon refers to their isolation, their alienation from the peoples of the world. I mean, all of the Eicha is about that. But he says, the Ramban, Hakavana Lomar, what Bila means to say here, what he speaks about the Bedidus of Klal Yisrael, Kasher Aniro El So Ata Shochen Levado, Kein Yishkon Leolonim Betach Bodot, Kein Yaakov. It means that these people will always be separate because they live in security. Betach. And he goes on to say, V'hui Yela Rosh Leolam, and they will be the leaders, the heads of the entire universe for all the nations. So if you take this Ramban and you put it together here with the end of the story, when Balak finally throws in the towel, he realizes that there's no way he can attain, you know, despite all his kfiyas atov and his anti-Semitic desire to persecute the Jewish people, nevertheless he realizes that he doesn't have a shot, he doesn't have a chance at it. So one thing I'll say about Balak and his, you know, in his credit is that he believed in the Nevuah. You know, he really took that Nevuah to his heart. Maybe because it came from Bilam, I don't know, from a non-Jewish, a heathen prophet. But he took it to heart, Balak, and he realized that's it. Ball game over. He doesn't have a chance to attack the Jewish people. Let's go on to the next Ramban, which is the second one on your page, which is Pasuk Yudalit. Let's read first the Pasuk inside, so we get a little bit of a context. V'ata, now Bilam is about to pack his bags. Hineni holech la'mi, I'll go back to my nation of Midian. L'cha I otzcha asher yasa hamazel yamcha b'achris hayom. Now the question is, what does the word I otzcha mean? Literally, the shoresh of the word etza means guidance, to give you a clue or a piece of good advice as to how you should deal with the Jewish people. And Rashi takes it in that light. He says, L'cha I otzcha malacha lasos umaya etza. And Rashi goes on to quote the famous Chazal in Sanhedrin, Eloheya Eloheyem shel elu sone zima. And this is the Eitzah that Bilam gave Lachshilam b'zima. Shari Nemar, and later on it's going to tell us Hein heino hayu l'bnei Yisrael b'dvar Bilam, that the Jewish people brought upon themselves this terrible sin, this terrible destruction, because of Bilam, who gave the Eitzah. In the next part of the pasuk, it says, "Asher yaseh ha'am hazeli amcha bi'achris hayom." And Rashi says, "Mikra katzer huzeh." This is like an abbreviated, abridged pasuk. I otcha lachshila. First part of the pasuk says, "I, Bilam, will give you bulk advice of how to trip up the Jewish people." And the second part is V'omer l'cha mayim asidim l'hara l'mo'av b'yakris hayom. And he quotes the pasuk later on, pasuk Yud Zayin, U'machatz pasei bo'av. So the Ramban says the following. First he quotes Rashi, and then in the second paragraph, Anochon v'enai, Sheyomar lo agid l'cha ha'etza asher yatz Elokim. The word etza here does not mean what it means elsewhere, a piece of advice or recommendation. It's not that Bilam, the way Rashi would have it, is giving a piece of advice to Balak, but rather this is the etza of Hashem. This is the scheme or the plan of God. I'm going to reveal to you the divine plan. Asher Yatz Elokim, and the Ramban is going to quote various psukim in Tanakh now to prove that the word I'otzcha means a plan, not a piece of advice. What is God's plan then for the Jewish people at the end of days? Miloshon, quoting a pasuk in Yeshayo, Zos ha'etza ya'utza ha'ya'utza al kol ha'aretz. It's the plan for the entire land. Or in Yirmiyahu it says, Shavu atzas Hashem asher yo'atz al enon. V'omar y'atzcha ki ha'shomea etza yikra no'atz. He who hears the plan is called a no'atz. Says the Ramban, and here he's crossing swords with all the Mepharshim, disagreeing with them, Hanavua zos limos hamashiachi. This nevua is foretelling the limos hamashiach. Ki kol nevuosov mosifos ba'asidus. The Ramban's thesis is that with each subsequent nevua, Bilam is talking about a later, more futuristic period in Jewish history, later down the line. Mitchila, at the very beginning, Rabbi Shavel points out, V'lo chein hidas ha'ibn Ezra, shekosev er'enu v'lo ata, when the pasuk says, er'enu v'lo ata, this is Pasuk Yud Zayin. That's going to be the key Pasuk here in unlocking the mystery here of what's going on in this Nevuah, in this fourth Nevuah. Says the Ibn Ezra, what it means, I will see him but not now. Hakarav Eli, says Ibn Ezra, ki zos ha-Nevuah al David Nemar. V'lo atik yachri arbi mos shana hois. There were 400 years between Klal Yisrael in the Midbar and David HaMelech. So v'lo atik means I'm seeing him in the future, but not now. Is referring this nevuah, this prophecy is referring to David HaMelech. However, the Ramban disagrees, and he holds that this nevuah is referring to way down the line, much later in history, namely to the period of Mashiach. And Rabbi Shavel quotes the Ramban in one of his other works called the Sefer Geula. The lowest county, says the Ramban, for two reasons I reject the approach of the Mefarshim that this section in the Torah, this Nevuah, is referring to David HaMelech. Number one, Echad ki yodanu she'ein min ha'masnabi hazeh adov rak arba me'ol shana v'ein eitzal ha'neviim zeh achris hayomim. How could it be that Bilam, in introducing this Nevuah, he says the achris hayomim? That's the David HaMelech is not called the Achris HaYomim. And furthermore, says the Ramban, secondly, V'lo dover rachok miyod, it's not so far away in history, Kadesh Yomar lo ata. It's not close, it's not now. He says, V'lo matzano ala shono sa'ilu ritzoni lo ma'achris hayom v'lo karov. These kinds of phrases in the Torah, these terms of Achris HaYomim, or v'lo karov in Pasuk Yud Zayin, ki im, we only find it rak ala geula sida for the ultimate redemption at the end of days at the time of Mashiach. And say the Ramban says nevuah shlishis in the third nevuah, which speaks about the destruction of Agad, the death of Agad, dibral shol. In the beginning of Malchus of David. Now he's talking about a much later time. So he can't be talking about the time of David HaMelech. Says the Ramban, and now he gives you an overview of the four prophecies of Bilam. He says, Mitchila Omar Hashem Chelek Hashem V'Nachlasa. First, Bilam describes the Jewish people as being closely, intimately related to Hashem. He's the people of Israel, the inheritance of Almighty God. Ubishenis, in the second of Uahosif, he adds another link in the history. So the first prophecy is the first relationship. That's the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. They receive the Torah. They're called the Nachla of Hashem. In the second of Uah, we're up to Kibush Haaretz, Vahargam Malcheha. That's what we saw before. Matov Alech Yaakov Mishkanos Yisrael, where the people of Israel will vanquish the Malachim, the kings. The Shlishis, Rashivta Baaretz. What's the next word here? It's a little erased in the Ramban. Uparu Varavu Ala Aretz. This is already the Jewish people throughout their history, at the time of David HaMelech and so forth, when they multiply. And I'm skipping a few words. V'atav and Nevuah is also Arvias. Now we're up to the fourth Nevuah, Yosef Liros Inyan HaMashiach. V'lachin hircha ka'inyim ovam ar'enu v'lo atash u'renu v'lo karv. This is exactly what he says in the Sefer HaGeulah that we saw before, that these words of v'lo karov are referring to the Achris HaYomim, to a much later period of time. And they were left out in the original three Nevuos of Bilam, deliberately so, because the three Nevuos, Rishonos, were not referring to the Achris HaYom, to the Yeros HaMashiach. Furthermore, the Ramban notices another distinction between the last Nevuah, the fourth one, and the previous ones. The Omar, Shezos Atzas Hashem, he refers to this in the fourth Nevuah as being, he defines it, he gives it a title, as being the plan of Almighty God. Sheyaetz Liros Be'achasiyom, what is the plan? What is the divine vision for the end of days? V'kara Atzmo, Ata Shomea Imrei Kel U'machsa Shakai Yefze. And here in Pasuk Tezvav, he describes himself, Bilam, Tezayin, excuse me, as in very dramatic terms. He's Yodea Das Elyon, he's Machsa Shekayechse. Why does he add these descriptions here when he does do this in the Nevuah Shlishis? But what he doesn't mention in the Nevuah Shlishis is Yodea Das Elyon. What does Yodea Das Elyon mean, says the Ramban? The Omer Kach. Here's what he means to say. Yodea Ani Das Ploni. I'm sorry. The Omer Kach. If somebody expresses himself, he says, Yodea Ani Das Ploni. I know what he's thinking. Yirtzeh Lomar. Shumaker Mimenu Masha Beliba. I know what's in his heart. Hadvarm Shalo Yagid Bepiv. So if a person says, I know Das Ploni, it means I know what's in his heart. I know what's in his mind. I know he's thinking what he's feeling, even though he doesn't express it. Other people only know what he verbalizes. I know what he has in his heart. And so too here, when Bilam describes himself as Yodea Das Elyon, V'chein Zeh Yechavein Lomar, his intention is to express you Yodea, he knows God's plan for the future, even when God hasn't formulated it, hasn't revealed it in words, verbalized. V'yomar Ata, now I will now put forth, says Bilam, Mashayesh B'daito Shel Kel Elyon, I will reveal what's in the heart, so to speak, or the intention, the mindset of Almighty God, Lassos, to bring about the Olamo in his world, the Sof Kal Yonim. V'zeu Ke'inyon Shenemar, this is a fascinating Ramban, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anovi, Ki Yom Nakam Billy B. Where is this pasuk from?
Yeshayahu.
Which perek?
Samach
Gimel. Ki yom nakam Billy B. The Amru, and Chazal say there's a medrash in Tehillim. What is this referring to? This pasuk in Yeshayahu, Ki yom nakam Billy B. Liba lefuma lo goli. What does it mean? This is Aramaic. Liba lefuma lo goli. His heart to his mouth did not reveal. What does that mean? His heart to his mouth did not reveal. It's a very, very strange syntax. It means that what was in his heart, he never verbalized in his mouth. So he never revealed it. And the Medrash says that no Navi ever was able to know through prophetic experience when the ultimate geula would come about. When would it happen? The Ramban here seems to indicate that there's at least one exception to this rule, and that is Bilam. Although it never says exactly what the date for the exact calendar date of the ultimate Bias HaMashiach will be, but he does seem to indicate that Bilam could, so to speak, read the Das Elyon as far as the ultimate plan for Mashiach. Chazal say, Nathan pointed this out to me, the Chazal say at the end of Sefer Bereishis, at the beginning of Parashas Vayichi, that Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his sons on his deathbed the Kates, and that's when the ultimate Geula would take place. Apparently Yaakov knew when the Kates was. So that Chazal in the Medrash that says on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu that God never revealed to any Navi when the Kates would take place, that's not necessarily accepted by all of our sages. What do you say?
He didn't reveal it that it would stick with him, right?
So what are you saying, Joe? Say it again.
I'm saying that he didn't reveal it that he could share it.
Ah, okay. But the Medrash seems to say that God never revealed it to anyone. Yom nakam b'li be. V'hinei omra kosu b'kan v'yisav v'shalom v'yom v'lo hizkir In the first three prophecies, he mentions it. Why does he leave it out here? He says, "Ki kevod sha'omar ni'um." Just one second here. So in Pasuk Tezayin, it says, "Ni'um shomea imrekel." Is therefore we know that this was benevuah. There's no need to repeat and emphasize that this was the Nevuah. See, the Ramban is very bothered here because the Ramban points out that Bilam, stage by stage, was climbing, so to speak, was going from the level of a Kosem to have prophetic experiences. So why here in the fourth Nevuah, which is the culmination, it's the most glorious and dramatic Nevuah, why doesn't the Pasuk indicate, as it did earlier in the first three times, that this was Nevuah?
Why can't you just say that all of these Nevuahs are...
What's bothering the Ramban is that the, you know, at this culmination, this apex of Nevuah, the Pasuk should indicate, following the pattern of the first three prophecies, that Bilam declares this is Nevuah. So the Ramban says that there are enough code words here in this fourth Nevuah that obviate the need to repeat those words. And it's clear, and that let's see the last line in the Ramban, the Yadua, it's absolutely crystal clear, Ki Hoysal of Yad Hashem. You remember that the Ramban employs the term Yad Hashem to refer to the Vua, Kaasher B'Pam HaShlishes, Sha'omar V'Tehil of Ruach Elokim. In other words, even though it doesn't say here V'Tehil of Ruach Elokim, but nevertheless, since it says, Ni'um Shomea Imrei Kel, V'Yodeh Das Elyon Machzai Shakai Yechse, there's no need to repeat what he said before about the heel of Ruach Elohim. And we know that we're talking about a Nevuah. So that's the Ramban here in Pasuk Tezvov. The last thing that I want to share with you is the Ramban in Pasuk Yud Zayin, which is the last paragraph on your page. And we'll read the Pasuk, and we'll be able to finish up very, very shortly. Erenu v'lo ata ashreda v'lo karv darach kochav miyakov v'kam shevet miyisrael u'machatz pasei mo'av. He says, "Ba'avur ki ha-Mashiach." This is a glorious Ramban. It really gives you a picture of what's going to happen at the time of Mashiach. Mashiach yikabetz nidchei Yisrael mikzei haretz. The Mashiach will enter into the far-flung, you know, places of the earth. They'll find Israelis, find Jews all over in Asia. The gurus, you know, it's smoking in Laos, whatever they do over there. And he's going to bring all those Jews from the end, the tippy end of Argentina, you know, where there used to be 500,000 Jews in Argentina. Who knows who's still around over there? Not because they all, you know, emigrated to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, but that's what he says. He says he's going, Darach Kochav Miyakov means that he's going to, so to speak, shoot out and penetrate into all the ends of the world, and Yikabetz Nidche Yisrael. Interesting that the Ramban emphasizes the word kibbutz. You know, kibbutz is a word that we use constantly in the davening three times a day to refer to kibbutz goyos. And the modern socialist entity in Israel, those little farms or communities, are called kibbutzim. And the word kibbutz means when you gather together a people or a group of people, individuals, to form a commune, you know, one entity. And the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So that's kibbutz Golios, means to take all the Jews together and create this new, fantastic, glorious, majestic entity called Klal Yisrael. Yishlu l'kochav hadorich barakiyah mikzeh ha-shamayim. It's like a shooting star, you know, that one second it's here in this part of the rakiyah, and the other second it's the other. And he elaborates, he dramatizes this with a pasuk in Daniel. And not only that, if we look even further into the future, Sheyidroch Kochav Mikzeh Shemayim V'yokum yimenu shevet Moshe. There will be a leader in Israel. A shevet Moshe, you know, a sovereign ruler. And he will be so powerful, u'machatz pase mov, v'karker kol b'nei shes. Right? That's what the pasuk says. The karkar kol b'nei shes. Now, b'nei shes refer to humanity. Because from shes, you know, all of humanity evolved. He's the ben adam shu avi kol ha'umos. He's the father of all nations. So therefore, when the pasuk indicates b'nei shes in this context of Moshiach, it's telling us something very important. Because the hand and the power of this sovereign ruler of Israel, the Shevet Moshe, will reach all the Umos, all the nations of the world, all of humanity. There's not one nation that won't be affected or touched by the Mashiach. Behizkir Pase Moav Lo deal of Balak. What was he trying to tell Balak when he mentions Pase Moav, the extremities of Moav? Ki amo lo yipol biyadash Yisrael ata, that even though his nation will, meaning Moav, will not fall and be vanquished by Yisrael now, amo you should know biachris hayomim. Even Moab will not be spared the power of this sovereign ruler of the Mashiach and Malchus Yisrael. V'tam, and the explanation for Pase Moab, Lomar Kizah Shevet Yekarker Kol B'nei Sheis V'yinotzel Apo Pishem Ktsutze Peah. I think what he means by Ktsutze Peah, which he's paraphrasing a pasuk in Yirmiyah, he means those who are in the far-flung little places in the world. You know, there are certain nations that aren't famous at all. They're almost insignificant. You know, there's Zuhalis, I don't know, there's, you go to Yukatsk, you know, you'll find different people. I don't know, maybe in Iceland or in the Antarctica, you'll find a couple Eskimos there, right? So the Yad, the hand of the Mashiach, against those who are enemies of the Jewish people, will not be spared even for the most insignificant nations. The Elam Shem Bo'umos, even though they don't have a reputation, they're not well known, they're not splashed on the front pages of the Times, nevertheless, Mashiach will get them. V'lo yilachamu b'Yisrael, even if they don't attack Israel, because they're so far away, nevertheless, the Mashiach is going to get them. It's almost as if he's envisioning the period of Mashiach as a cleansing period in which the enemies of the Jewish people, even those who are only enemies in their heart, will be vanquished by the Melech HaMashiach. So Yiratzon we should be zocha to see the Akras HaYomim and fulfillment of all these beautiful, incredible blessings. B'mheirav Yomeinu Amen.